Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's your daily podcast in which we analyze, we scrutinize, and we celebrate The Force Awakens 1 minute at a time. I'm Alex Robinson from comicbookalex.com.
I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
And I am John Kavalik from DarkTower.com and from WorldOfMunchkin.com.
It wouldn't be an All-Star Week without an appearance from Johnny K.
Mr. All-Star, me and Bob Uecker. I'm the Bob Uecker of Star Wars Minute. Looks like I must be in the front row.
Just earlier this week, we had Father David, who's a priest, who's, you know, kind of was wondering if he could be the official chaplain of the Movies by Minutes community. And I said, well, I think you're running unopposed in that. And so just like that, I think you proclaiming to be the Bob Uecker of Star Wars Minute, I think you're running unopposed. So
awesome.
You're locked. You got it.
Excellent.
You've clinched it.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. It's at that point now. This is the seventh in a row now, and it's like I get really worried about the middle of the season. You know, it's like, oh, will the streak continue? I think you guys know how it, I start sweating it out here, man. So thank you for having me back. I'm relieved and delighted to be back.
And as you pointed out in the green room, I think except for one, explain again about how we keep giving you quiet minutes.
Yes, this is my, I believe the last actual dialogue I had was for Phantom Menace Minute. And that was when Anakin was about to be run over by Darth Maul on his desert bike thing. And Obi-Wan yells, "Get down, Anakin!" And that may actually be the last dialogue I've had. The Attack of the Clones minute was Padme, Anakin, and Obi-Wan tied up in the amphitheater, about to be mauled by some beasts. And
Petronacci Arena.
Revenge of the Sith minute had some grunting and groaning as Palpatine and Mace Windu battled by a surprisingly open window. So I am actually expecting you to save the minute where Holdo rams the First Order's flagship for those 10 minutes of absolute silence, because I'm your man. I am your go-to for these minutes.
Well, we'll pencil you in for that that minute right now.
Thank you.
We'll try to make it work. But today, we are talking about minute 65 of The Force Awakens. And minute 65 starts off with Rey looking kind of dejected as Finn leaves Maz's castle. And it ends a minute later with Rey in the basement and the door opening up to reveal the treasures contained therein.
I didn't know there was so much dark gray in the galaxy.
You hadn't seen Solo at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Ray is, it's, I always thought that Ray was kind of, when I first heard, Ray reacts to the sound of like a child, what sounds like a child screaming, and, you know, I thought this was going to turn into a, like Temple of Doom type thing where she was going to go down to the basement and find that Maz had enslaved a group of a group of children. So
I had no idea what to expect from this. The first time I saw this movie, the first 40 minutes or 30, 40 minutes moved so fast that I was actually just glad to get to a little bit of downtime here. Mm-hmm. Take a breather and, you know, sit back. I heard the sound. I heard the what I assumed were many children, and I couldn't tell if they were playing at first or, you know. But eventually, there's some concern in the voices you hear, and yeah, it's just this movie really moved along at a very quick clip to get to this point.
Yeah.
By the way, my daughter is sitting beside me. And she was excited that I was going to be back on Star Wars Minute. And she actually asked me, she's 10 years old now, she asked me what minute I would be getting. And she has written down some of her own thoughts about this minute.
Yeah, you have a writing staff.
So, yeah. Yes. And
I got to start doing that.
And she's actually, the first thought is that it gives the movie that unsettling feeling.
Yeah.
It's true.
So, definitely.
It sprays an air of mystery about. Well, and I love that the
phrasing it.
The trigger for it is Rey is abandoned once again. Mm-hmm. We talked about this a little bit yesterday that, you know, like, oh, here she is abandoned again. He walks away from her and leaves her there on her own. And then that's when she starts hearing this Force vision of herself being abandoned, because it's this like flashback.
I feel like such a dum-dum right now for not figuring that out. No, that's a very good point.
It took going through it minute by minute for me to be like, oh, yeah.
I thought that scream was the sound of the younglings who were killed by that lightsaber.
They're haunting it forever.
The Force ghosts, yeah, haunting the lightsaber.
Oh, that's right. This is that lightsaber, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Mm. Oh, good heavens. So whoa. Like,
Liam the Shades and what's the Master Skywalker kid?
Mm-hmm.
They're all just kind of like hanging out down there.
Like Casper.
Right.
Like Casper is the ghost of Richie Rich. This, right. They are Force ghosts.
Yes. Now, having missed yesterday's minute, who are the two folks who Finn leaves with? Because from the back, one of them looks like the world's largest Ewok.
That is, what is his name? Queequeg?
Quiggold?
Quiggold.
Quiggold. Quiggold? I don't know. They don't say it. They just write it. He's the first mate on a ship that belongs to the red guy who is Sidon Itano.
Sidon Itano.
Hey, Sidon Itano. It's the Crimson Corsair.
I make a joke every time his name comes up.
Yeah. Or the Red Raider, the Crimson Corsair, the Scarlet Swashbuckler or something like that.
Yeah.
The Carmine Criminal.
What's the ship in Monty Python's Meaning of Life? Sorry.
The Brick Buccaneer.
By the way, what is a pirate's favorite crime?
Favorite crime? I assume it's probably like pillaging and stuff, right?
Well, yeah. See, the answer people give you is arson, and you go, no, it's piracy. For goodness sakes.
I get it. Because fires. Yeah.
Yes. I see.
So Ray starts walking down the stairs.
Yes, as does Beastie Boy 8. He's also walking down the stairs there, and we get a good view. We don't really ever get this very much with RTD2, but we get to see like actual practical version of BB-8 rolling down the stairs.
Well, R2-D2 would just suddenly produce jets or something like that. The thing I love about, actually, you know, I love listening to this on the stereo speakers. I love the sound of this minute.
This show?
Yes. Okay. but you know, this minute, the way, you know, the music is so atmospheric, leading into the child voice, down to BBH, just like clunking down these stairs. It's a very solid clunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I'm surprised at that.
And my daughter's just passed me a note. What if BB-8 has a cat inside it? Dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. She actually wrote down the dun, dun, dun.
I like it.
Like one of those hamster balls?
Yes, only with a cat inside it.
The cat inside of it.
But yeah, I mean,
Caddy Baker.
You know, R2's a much larger droid than BB-8. And I don't remember at any point in any of the movies where R2, you know, made any kind of clunking sound like that. Well, he's got the rollers, but, you know, there have been moments when, you know, they could have made some sound or something, but just that thunk, thunk, thunk of BBA going down those stairs is actually really terrific.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the one I'm thinking of when R2 gets zapped by the Jawas and falls over on his face.
Oh.
That doesn't even sound as solid as BB-8 does at points.
Yeah. It's kind of an empty thud.
Yeah. He sounds more like a trash can, whereas BB-8 sounds more like a bowling ball or something.
Yeah. Now, BB-8 gets picked up quite a bit, or a couple of times during these movies. Yes.
He's very popular with the ladies.
Physically lifted. it does appear to be quite a heavy droid from those thunks.
I think it was established he weighs like 40 pounds.
Okay.
Well, I don't know how much that is in kilos. I know you're...
That would be 20-ish. But yeah, it's just the heavy sound. I loved it. Yeah. I mean, there's not much else to go on in this minute, but you know, the sound effects.
As far as I know, the only time we see R2 navigating stairs is very briefly when they're going to Docking Bay 94.
94. Mm.
And you see him kind of like waddling around, and it's clearly Kenny Baker like holding it up,
right.
Holding up the shell and trying to navigate the stairs. I'm impressed and like puzzled as to why they even bothered to include that shot. Like, would people be mad if they didn't explain how he got up and downstairs? Most of the time they just edit around it. You know, he just shows up downstairs or he shows up upstairs without learning how he got down.
Yeah, but then you'd have shows like this where people would be going, how did BB-8 get down there? You don't see him going down the stairs. Does he have jets like R2-D2? Plot hole, my God.
I think he should just roll down much faster, you know, just like, like if someone rolled like a ball down the stairs.
But, you know, here's what I love. Okay, this is, I mean, it's weird to be going into BB-8's going down a flight of stairs in such detail. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he goes down, then every stair sort of catches himself and backs up a little bit before going to the next one. And then, you know, like this very small, easy to miss thing, but it was, I just, you know, again, not having any actual dialogue to concentrate on, I do love the movement of that droid. You know, he looks down at the next stair, takes the stair, backs up just a little bit, and in the meantime, Ray is looking quizzically down the corridor.
How do you feel about BB-8 in general? Are you a fan?
I am a fan. Huge fan. I can't even accept the over-the-top bits in The Last Jedi. But yeah, I've just loved BB-8 from the beginning. He's well-used. I got to tell you, I was so excited when these movies came out. And my daughter has just drawn a BB-8 with a cat inside it.
Hmm.
It's actually a pretty good one. wow, I'm feeling threatened right now.
You replace us.
Yes. Make way, olds. I love the new cast. It's so solid. I mean, even, you know, BB-8 is just a fantastic addition to the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does a good. It's you know, we get a little bit of C-3PO, we get a tiny bit of R2-D2 in here, but he does a good job of kind of playing that role. You know, it's a familiar thing, but it's also a new wrinkle. It's not just another, you know, R2 unit or anything like that. He's new.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, what's up with this guy? He's new.
I think he's probably my favorite droid in the Star Wars universe at the moment.
I think mine's probably K2SO. Of the new droids, I mean.
Yeah.
Obviously, IG-88 is my all-time favorite.
Yes. Although, you know, you could get a combination IG-BB-8.
Oh,
wow. I'd like to see him navigating the stars.
So
I just had a horrible
drastically different. You've got like a ball and a stick, basically.
Yeah. I just had a horrible thought that BB-8 is the Elmo of Star Wars.
Mm.
Like they kind of like took Grover and kicked him up a notch and made him cuter and more childlike.
No.
So
no, BB-8 is more knowing. I mean, you know, when BB-8 will shoot those glances towards Finn or whoever, it's not an innocent little Elmo glance. It's a much sharper, knowing sort of look.
So it sounds like you're in team middle finger as opposed to team thumb.
Actually, I was team thumb. I actually did not even realize there was a team middle finger until I was listening to this season.
Team bird, I guess, is what they're called.
Team bird and team thumb.
Yeah. No. I definitely took it as a thumbs up.
Okay.
Maybe we should have had shirts for that. Maybe we still could. A little drawing of BB-8 with the hashtag team thumb and hashtag team bird. Two different ones.
By the way, if I could just plug the Star Wars Minute online store for a second, one of my daughter's very favorite shirts was the yellow Tatooine one, which is no longer available, I believe.
It is. Yeah. Banned.
Oh. Well, we've got a collector's item then.
You do.
Mm-hmm. Don't wear it.
don't even look at it.
Put it, slab it. Slab it in plastic.
Yeah. Get it graded.
I did a t-shirt years ago. Sith Park t-shirt. Mm. It was, this is one of the first Comic-Cons I went to. And it was just, you know, the South Park characters drawn as Darth Maul was probably Cartman. Somebody else was the Emperor. And I think, I can't remember. But anyway, the punchline was, oh my God, we killed Qui-Gon. And an editor of mine wore that to Lucas Ranch, to Skywalker Ranch, because he was working on the Star Wars magazine at the time. And he said, yeah, people there loved it. I was like, oh, thank God, because I didn't get a cease and desist letter for that.
Hmm.
Nice.
That's always good to have that, you know, to show up on the radar and yet still be safe at the end.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Big sigh of relief there.
What I like about that idea of the shirt is that it's so 1999. Like, South Park was very hot at the time. Darth Maul, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Very 90s.
It was totally. It was the like, one of those rare times where I just actually managed to figure out what the cultural zeitgeist was.
It's ride that wave.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the corridor Rey is walking down. Are you thinking more Death Star when Luke and Han are looking for Leia? Or are you thinking more Jabba's palace? And should there be a Gamorrean guard somewhere along this?
Well, there should definitely at least be a sign. That was my, like, employees only, or like do not enter or something. Yeah. She just kind of like wanders down a stair and there's nobody. Nobody blocking it. Nobody saying, like, hey, don't go down there. You know, how come it's not full of miscreants and drunkards?
Well, the door could have, if there was a door, it could have opened on its own, as one later does.
Yeah.
Here.
That's true. Maybe we just didn't see it open. Plot hole. There you go.
But it's a nice
actually, the door opening on my own kind of reminds me of Luke in Empire, where he's going onto Cloud City and the, like, Vader is kind of stringing him along by, you know, guy making him go through doors and things like that. You know, when the
that was actually one of the notes I had written down is, you know, the door starts opening and at the end of it is Darth Vader at the dinner service from Cloud City.
Sorry, wrong party.
Ugh.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Speaking of Rey,
yes.
Do you guys think that she makes her own clothes, or does she buy them on Nima Outpost?
Probably trades for them.
How many portions? Is that why she's got no the sleeves are not complete?
she didn't have enough money to buy the sleeves.
She's still saving one, up for the sleeves.
One quarter sleeve.
Well, she must like the look because she's wearing a different outfit in Last Jedi, but she still has the sleeve, you know, the shoulderless. That just must be the style at the time,
right? Yeah. So this is at this point. This is about what? How long has it been since they've left Jakku to get to this point? They had, you know, the
in movie time Falcon.
Has it been a day since they left Jakku? Has it been half a day for them?
One of those things where they don't. It's like, how long did it take them to get to Alderaan? Like, they don't really say.
Oh, so 200 hours.
That's where you can kind of fill in, however much time you need for the story to work.
I'm just wondering how the clothes are smelling at this point. Is, I guess, what I'm getting to here. Are they musky? Are they fresh? Are they? there's not a lot of, you know. I mean, the sweat would evaporate quickly on Jakku.
Right.
That's true.
Well, it's been almost exactly 30 filmic minutes since they left Jakku.
So filmic minutes. He was the editor, wasn't he?
Filmic minutes. Yeah. He's our publisher emeritus here at moviesbyminutes.com. So I don't know what that translates. It does seem to be more or less like, other than the kind of the jump from the Rathtars to Mans Kanata's castle. That's the only amount of time that we don't really know what it is. Other than that, it seems pretty much kind of more or less, you know, not necessarily real time 100%, but like more or less sequential events.
Yeah, so
plus you got to figure any belongings Han and Chewie had on the Falcon are probably long gone. Other than, of course, his Seeker remote ball, which no one would take off the ship.
I don't know. You think that whole closet of capes might still be there?
I hope so.
That would have been awesome if, when they got out at Maz Kanata's planet, what is it called? Takodana.
Yeah. Takodana. Yeah.
If they were all wearing different Lando capes and outfits and stuff like that.
Maybe they are. We don't even know it.
Sleeveless, shoulderless.
Yeah.
So Takodana, Taco Bell, Liv Maz connection. My mind is just blown.
Oh, there you go.
It's a very subtle marketing on their part.
Drop the Chewbacca. Taking it back. I've been back to that South Park Darth Maul era Taco Bell marketing slogans. Yoda Kiero Taco Bell.
If you guys don't mind, like I said, my 10-year-old daughter is here.
Yeah, yeah.
And she would like to tell you why she likes Ray so much.
Oh, perfect. Sure.
She is a huge fan. So here, let me transfer.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I really like Ray because of her backstory.
Which part of it?
Like that her parents were kind of taken away by the Empire and that she was kind of raised by someone, most likely Ankar Plot, and I also like that she's a strong girl.
That is true.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, probably led to her being strong because she had to mostly fend for herself, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Although,
so, Louisa, do you think Rey makes her own clothes or does she buy them?
I don't know. Maybe she scavenged them.
Hmm. That's true. Maybe they were clothes. She found them in a closet somewhere. Which, again, goes back to maybe it was a Lando outfit or Lando's cape or something. Because the Millennium Falcon was there. So maybe she turned them into clothes.
Oh.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe we'll get to see that they make another movie with Donald Glover as Lando. Maybe we'll get to see him wearing a variation of the Rey outfit.
So, Louise, what do you think is going to happen to Rey in the third movie, in the next one?
I don't know. Maybe she will get to destroy Kylo Ren.
Hmm.
That would be fun to see.
I think they pretty much have to have like a big lightsaber duel, right? There hasn't really been a lightsaber duel of sorts other than the Praetorian Guard room was the highlight of...
Right. It wasn't really a duel.
Right, it wasn't a duel. I think we need to have a serious lightsaber fight. That'd be
yeah,
good.
I agree.
I mean, we kind of get one at the end of this movie, but I think they need to go all out.
Yeah, we have two almost lightsaber fights.
Right, although she doesn't have a lightsaber currently. So
well, that's true.
Oh, she handed the microphone back to me.
No.
No.
Right. too much speculating. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, it was, this is actually, the first Star Wars movie she saw in a theater. So it was a very, very like proud dad, geek dad moment for me, taking her to see this in the theater. And she sat through, The Last Jedi twice. So,
wow.
Yep.
She sat through it twice.
Yeah, and in the theater, a 10-year-old. Well, actually, she was 9 at the time. Mm-hmm. So for a 9-year-old, you know, to just sit there a couple of times, yeah, it's been fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Had she seen Star Wars before seeing Phantom Menace?
Yes.
Force Awakens in the theater? Did you, like, kind of
yes.
prep her?
Well, no, actually, she totally glommed onto Star Wars fandom on her own, because when she was 5, she was kind of curious about it because the boys in her, I guess it was kindergarten, were talking about it. So I tried, I thought, this is my moment. This is it. This is great. And so we started one night watching Star Wars, episode 4, also known as Star Wars, from the beginning. And so we got to the trash compactor scene, and it was her bedtime. So I thought, okay, we'll continue tomorrow. And tomorrow, the next day, she wanted to start from the beginning again. And we got to the trash compactor scene, and it became her bedtime. And the third day, the same thing happened. And so I sort of thought, well, okay, maybe this was, I shouldn't really try and push this on her too much. She knows what it is. She's got the cultural reference. She can talk to the other kids in her class about it. And then the next year, we went to Disney World, and I took her on the Star Tours ride, and I think it's safe to say that that blew her mind, and mm-hmm. she loved it, and she wanted to keep going back on the ride again and again. We had the most violent scenes from that the first time she went on it. We had the a battle on Hoth, and then the battle over Coruscant. So lots of explosions, lots of ships falling, and as soon as we got out, she said, "Dad, can we do that again?" And over the next 4 days at Disney, we went on the ride 20 times.
Whoa.
And she was the rebel spy 6 times, I believe. And so she's got the rebel spy t-shirt now. Mm. And, you know, all my life, I've never been the rebel spy once. So I was hurt a little, I'll be honest. And we got back home and she wanted to watch all the movies, starting with 4. So 4, 5, and 6. And then we saw the prequels. In fact, I was a little hurt because her mom and she watched episode 2 while I was gone. Okay, so I wasn't terribly hurt because it was episode 2.
I was going to say, what were you hurt about that?
But still, it's just become this like big daddy-daughter thing. I went to see episode 7. Judith and I went to see episode 7 the night before the night it opened, just to check it out before Louisa saw it, to prepare her in case there's anything, you know, that, you know, she should be, I guess at that time she was 7, anything a 7-year-old should be prepared for. And so the next day we went to see it, and in fact she started dressing up, she dressed up as Rey for Halloween, the Halloween before the movie even came out. So she just loved the character of Rey from the beginning. It's the only thing she wanted to know. I did the same thing with The Force Awakens, Judith and I. Louisa's just written down on a piece of paper, "Remember all your favorite characters die." Yes, thank you, honey.
Remember all of us die at some point.
that's true for every character.
Well, it was the Admiral Ackbar one in particular that... we went to see Force Awakens, and the only question she had was, "Does Rey die?" And I was like, "No, but Admiral Ackbar does." Mm-hmm. She loved The Force Awakens. She loved The Last Jedi. And I've got to say, this is really... I saw Star Wars when it first came out in the theater, and this is the best time I'm having with Star Wars ever. Like when The Force Awakens came out, Luis and I would be huddled around the computer watching the new trailers when they were released. So it's just been fantastic fun being a Star Wars fan with a daughter this young, and watching her just glom onto characters like Rey and, you know, the new, all the new characters, and, you know, keeping up with her love for the old characters. And she loves the Porgs, so I can't really complain about Porgs. and she loves the Ewoks. In fact, actually, she probably has made me appreciate episode 6 more than I ever have. Just seeing a kid watch that and really love the Ewoks and all of those things. It's been terrific. It's been a fun time.
Now, when you were on last season, you had not seen Revenge of the Sith at all at that point.
And I still haven't.
So even though your daughter's watching well, you didn't watch Revenge of the Sith?
No. So she's one movie ahead of me. And it's like, I'm not actively boycotting it or anything. I just, you know, don't, not really felt the need, which was kind of the same reason I didn't see Solo in the theaters. I just wasn't, you know, I didn't feel the need to see a new, you know, I didn't really need Han Solo's origin story. And so when I finally saw it on Blu-ray, I felt like such a fool because it's a really terrific movie. It's just, it's, you know, fast, it's well-paced, it's a heist movie set in the Star Wars universe.
Did it make you reconsider seeing Sith now, since you realize what you've been missing?
Well,
everybody says Sith is the best of the prequels. So one of these days I will. It's just I haven't had the chance to yet. I mean, in all honesty, I would rather put in The Force Awakens or The Last Jedi if I'm going to throw a Star Wars movie in at the moment.
Yeah, makes sense.
And I've got my rankings here ready for you. I've been struggling with these.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've got to say, us.
They're updated. Have things changed? Are things in new places?
Things are in new places. Hmm. So starting from the top, episode 4, Star Wars. Just because that's the first one I saw. It was fantastic. It still is.
Mm-hmm.
Close behind that is Empire Strikes Back. Very close behind that is Last Jedi. I loved that movie. I just thought it was tremendous. It was the Star Wars movie I didn't think I needed. They did so many surprising things in it. I'm so glad I saw it without any spoilers. I went back the next day just because I had enjoyed it so very much the first time. It's like, okay, will it still be as good? And it's like every time I see it, it gets a little bit better. Then there's a little bit of a gap with The Force Awakens, Rogue One, Return of the Jedi, and Solo. And those all kind of shift around from time to time. I like them all. They're all fine movies. They've all got flaws. Probably Rogue One is the least flawed, but I will just, the first 40 minutes of A Force Awakens is such good movie making. It just drags you in. The world building, the speed at which things happen. It's just like being on a thrill ride as far as a Star Wars movie goes. And then there's the big gap with Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, and I've yet to see Sith. So I'm going to assume I will enjoy Sith more than Attack of the Clones and probably more than Phantom Menace. So I don't know, is it going to be close to that middle group or is it just going to be the top of the last group? I'm not sure. But I'm not actively avoiding it. I just have not had that chance yet.
We need to do like a Kickstarter or something where if enough people donate, then you'll see the Revenge of the Sith.
Add that to a Patreon level. There you got it. By the way, did I tell you that this movie, The Force Awakens, made me lie to my wife?
For the first time?
Well, I do not lie often because I'm a terrible liar. So I feel being honest is probably not only the morally correct thing to do, it's probably the safest route for me in general. So we went to see it the night it opened. And I had heard some of the rumors about the movie. I was talking with Ken Plume, and he was the person who, filled me in that, yeah, Solo dies. It's like, no, shut up, Ken, you lie. You lie. But I did not realize at that point how emotionally invested I still am in the Star Wars universe, especially after the whole prequel. Seeing the prequels in my 30s, I guess I was at the time. I just really, really hoped that the Disney movies would at least not suck. I mean, there's this very low bar. It's like, please don't suck. Please don't suck. So my wife and I go the opening night to see it before we take our daughter. And I'm in the theater. And we've got these nice, it's this reserved seating theater with these really lovely seats that can recline and they're comfy and everything. So my wife and I are there in our seats waiting for this thing to open. And I'm so, so, so hoping this movie does not suck. I'm actually shaking. The movie's yet to come on. And my wife looks over, she goes, "You're shivering." And I look back at her and I say, "I'm cold." So she takes her giant coat and puts it on me.
Aww.
And it's like, I cannot tell my wife. I've got so much emotional investment in this ridiculous movie about space wizards. I love you. I know you'll understand. No, I just say, I'm cold. I've been tremendously happy with the Disney movies up to this point. I loved Rogue One. I mean, it's such a hard movie for me to watch. I love the themes of sacrifice in it. I love the fact that the theme of sacrifice carried over to Last Jedi. They're just great, great scenes in these movies. Like, some of the best moments in the history of Star Wars are coming at us almost in every movie these days. So it's fantastic.
Yeah, we've talked about how it's, they can even, if they need to, Not that they need to. If they, I'm not saying they have, but if they make a misstep here and there, it's not the end of the world because there's new ones of these coming out all the time. So things feel a little less dire all the time.
Yeah, the
prequels had a finite kind of opening and closing point, and it was like, you have to do this right between here and here.
Oh, God.
This is just so open-ended that it's so like, oh, great. Like, yeah, I want to see
more of that. After Solo, I'm sold. It's like, you know, I mean, for all of the stories of a troubled set and, you know, production problems and everything, hey, that was a really fun movie.
Yeah.
And the fact that I could accept somebody other, by the end of the movie, accept that somebody else is playing Han Solo other than Harrison Ford. It's like, yeah, you guys have done something right here. This is pretty fun.
Yeah.
I wonder, in terms of minutes of screen time, does Alden Ehrenreich, is he actually Han Solo more?
Han Solo more.
Let's see.
No.
Han is probably not on screen for the original movies, like maybe a third of the time for each movie.
Oh, he gets a lot of...
He does, but, you know, even in something like... he doesn't have all that much time.
Now in Star Wars, he's not in the first...
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Shows up at the end of the first part, and then he's barely in the second, the third part. So he's in the middle part a lot.
Hmm. Yeah, and in Solo, Solo is pretty much 90% of the movie on screen time. So possibly,
We'll have to figure that out.
We had that page not too long ago.
Yeah, we did. We talked about Lando and all that much time. Yeah.
Oh, yep.
Well, anything else for minute 65 before we close up All Star Week forever?
It's a lovely quarter forever. it's a nice sounding minute for no dialogue whatsoever. I look forward to my next dialogue free minute. I was so happy. I mean, I will agree with every criticism made about this movie that, okay, it apes the original a little too much. There's, look, it's another circular death object in the sky. The physics.
That was the original working title. But
yes.
Death object in the sky. Sorry, that was my Johnny Cash impression.
Yeah. The planets, the being visible when they're blown up all over the galaxy, everything like that. I get it. But I just was so happy with this movie. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it just made me love Star Wars again. So, yeah, I'm just happy to be back and be very happy with Star Wars.
I have a potential update. I have a half of an update. I have an up. The combined screen time Harrison Ford as Han Solo seems to be 81 minutes and 15 seconds.
Wow.
So if we can assume that he's on screen for more than that in Solo, which is, what's the running time of Solo? Let's see, 2 hours 15.
Holy cow. Mm.
So if we can assume that he's on screen for longer than that.
Yeah.
It's true. He might be. He might be the canonical champion, temporal champion of Han Solo-ness.
I would be surprised if they made another Solo movie, but I would not hate that.
Maybe he'll show up like in one of those TV shows they're doing. You know? Anyway,
would he be able to fit into a Kenobi movie if they got Ewan McGregor to do one of those? Would the timeline work?
I don't want the streams crossing.
But
crazy old wizard.
I don't want everybody to know
Obi-Wan
each other.
Kenobi story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. In fact, if I had one quibble with Solo, they probably had a few too many lines, the fan service kind of lines. And yeah, once on Rogue One with Dr. Avesian and Waller's Man popping up. You know, things like that. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, I agree. Everybody does not need to know everybody else.
Right.
But I'm still so happy. I'm so happy. I love these movies.
We are too.
Yes. And so is my daughter, who says goodnight. She had to go up to bed.
Oh, goodnight, Kowalik Jr. I don't know how much you want your child's name to be out in the internet, but...
I just refer to her as daughter, age 10.
Online. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us again, John, and we look forward to having you back for in the future. I'm trying to think
for
of which
silent minute.
Which scenes in Rogue One, we'll have to find out which scenes have no dialogue in it.
Probably where they're just waiting for the shockwave to come.
That's a good one. Although that doesn't occur until the end of the movie, so you might start sweating.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure, guys. You have no idea.
Well, you know what else? Speaking of pressure, we're going to pressure you into becoming a Patreon supporter. Because it's Friday, which means we're done for the week with regular shows. But on Saturday, we have our week in addition show. And then on Sunday, we have our weekend edition show. So if you just cannot get enough of us talking, then go on over to StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon. Become a member. You can get stuff for as little as a buck a week, basically. And you'll get an extra show every week. So that's nothing. That's nothing. It's less than, anyway.
Nothing.
Like I said,
I am a very, very happy and very proud Star Wars Minute Patreon supporter.
This is true. We appreciate that.
Yeah. You've been a supporter for a long time.
Long time.
All right, everyone. So we'll be back on Monday with another brand new Star Wars Minute.
Wars.
Star Wars Minute.